Usually when we talk about playing it safe, we picture like a fortress.
High walls.
Exactly. You hoard your supplies and you lock the gates tight,
Yeah.
and it feels entirely logical. But step into the world of behavioral psychology, and suddenly that fortress becomes a prison.
Oh, absolutely. This is a total trap.
Yeah. And that paradox is exactly what we're unpacking in today's deep dive into day five of your Laws of Life workbook. We are looking at this brutal truth: money is like sand.
Right. Grip it too tightly and it just slips right through your fingers.
Exactly. But if you hold it loosely, you create room for abundance.
So that tight grip is really what we are challenging today. Your mission is to apply the SAND method, which is, a framework for strategically circulating your resources to a past situation where playing financial defense cost you dearly.
A situation where playing it safe actually backfired.
Right. Because neurologically speaking, when you hoard resources, your amygdala, the brain's threat detection center, it lights up like a siren.
Because it thinks you're under attack.
Exactly. It tricks you into feeling secure because you're gathering provisions. But while the amygdala is throwing a party, it's actually shutting down your prefrontal cortex.
Wow. Which is the area you need for like strategic planning.
Yeah, long-term economic planning just goes right out the window. You think you're safe, but you're actually paying a massive fear tax.
And we call this poverty consciousness in psychology. You believe you're being a good steward of your money.
But isn't holding on to your cash just being a good steward? I mean, logically.
Well, no, because true stewardship means managing for growth, not just preservation. Freezing your capital is like putting a tourniquet on your arm to save blood.
Right. Eventually you lose the whole limb.
Exactly. And I actually learned this the hard way early in my academic career.
Oh, really? Well, let's hear it then. Because day five actually asks you to answer two specific questions. I'm putting you on the spot here. What specific sum are you trying to protect, and how did freezing it trigger a flow tax?
Okay, fair enough. So I had a $10,000 research grant for a behavioral study, and I was so terrified of running out of funding that I absolutely refused to hire a grad student assistant.
Because your amygdala convinced you that keeping the cash in the bank was the only way to survive the project.
Exactly.
So what did that actually cost you in lost momentum?
Well, it triggered a brutal flow tax, which is what happens when stagnant resources just choke off your progress. Because I wouldn't spend a dime. I did all the data entry myself.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it took months instead of weeks. The project's momentum completely suffocated, and I missed the window for a major publication opportunity.
Wow. That's a steep tax.
It really stung, but surely I am not the only one here who has tripped over their own survival instincts. Let's flip the script. When has your inner neuroscientist failed to override that fear tax?
Oh, it happens to the best of us, believe me.
Well, I want to hear the real math on a time you hoarded cash. Day five's next questions are: did your stagnant cash outpace the scarcity tax, and how would you deploy it today?
Okay, yeah. So in my early days running a neuroscience lab, I flat out refused to spend $15,000 to upgrade our incredibly outdated brain imaging software.
Just to save money, right?
Right. I told myself I was being fiscally responsible. But looking at the real math, that stagnant cash I preserved was nothing compared to the scarcity tax.
Because the imaging was too slow.
Agonizingly slow. Because of that, I actually lost out on a lucrative private consulting contract.
Oh, wow. How much was it worth?
Over 100 grand.
Wait, really?
Yeah, the opportunity cost completely dwarfed the savings.
That is painful. So if you were dropped back into that exact scenario today, knowing what you know now, how would you handle it?
I would immediately use step D of the SAND method, deploying capital strategically.
Right.
Instead of hiding behind conservation, I'd use an investor's mindset, upgrade the software, and create leverage to expand our lab's capacity. That is how you turn a defense mechanism into a growth engine.
That is such a crucial shift. And to avoid making those fear-based mistakes today, you really have to actively rewire your habits. Your brain's default is the fortress.
Which is exactly why we emphasize your three times a day review.
Yes, the daily stack.
It is non-negotiable if you want to change your neurobiology. You need to be looking at your three code rewrites to reframe those limiting beliefs.
Right. And your three distill points to remember the core lessons.
Exactly. And your two quotes to keep you anchored, you are literally building new neural pathways every time you review them.
Absolutely. And of course, do not forget your bedtime question tonight.
Oh, essential. You're training your subconscious to surface solutions while you sleep.
Bypassing that panicked amygdala entirely. Well, tomorrow is day six, which brings us to your self-audit.
The week is almost over, so it's a really perfect time to reflect on the growth you've achieved so far.
And to see where you might still be gripping that sand a little too tightly.
Exactly. So we'll leave you with this final thought to mull over today. If your nervous system is wired to treat money as a finite shield rather than a tool for leverage,
yeah,
what other areas of your life are you quietly starving of oxygen just to feel safe?